After 2 days of anti-French rioting in Ivory Coast, things are said to be under control. The president's appealed for calm and urged his supporters to stop attacks against foreigners. Our correspondent in Ivory Coast is James Cotnell. James, first of all, why has this anti-foreigner violence started?
Well, on Thursday, the loyalist army, loyal to President Laurent Gbagbo, started bombarding the positions of the former rebels who've held the north of the country for some 2 years now. There's a UN peacekeeping force and a French peacekeeping force in between the two, maintaining what had been a fragile peace. And these raids continued on, and on Saturday, an Ivorian armed forces air raid killed 9 French peacekeepers. The French responded by destroying the entire Ivorian Air Force, a fairly small force, some 5 helicopters and 2 planes, we're led to believe. And in retaliation, there have been a number of anti-French demonstrations in Abidjan and throughout the government-held south of the country.
Pretty tough action then. Has that and the appeal for calm had some effect? Has it worked?
Yes, we're certainly not seeing anything like the scenes we had just over a day ago, when tens of thousands of young President Gbagbo supporters descended on the airport, which is under the control of the French, and the French military base in the southern city of Abidjan. The president appealed for calm, but in a situation which was already becoming calm, there's a massive French military presence on the street. Notably, I've been seeing throughout the night convoys of some 40 to 50 armed vehicles, tanks, and so on. And that French military presence, coupled perhaps with the president's words, seems to have brought a degree of calm to the situation.
And what's this going to do to French Ivory Coast relations?
Well, it's a very complicated issue to start with. France, the former colonial power, of course, and since independence in 1960, Ivory Coast has had a very close relationship with France. Some have seen it as too close. They feel France has too great economic and political interests in the country, and that has led to an upsurge in anti-French feeling in the last few years. People who support President Laurent Gbagbo have frequently claimed that the French were behind this rebellion that seized the north of the country 2 years ago, something the French have always denied. But there's no doubt that relationships between the two countries are going to be difficult for time to come.
James Cotnell, thank you very much.
It's 10:06, Radio Côte d'Ivoire International, coming to you live from Washington, D.C. On the deck, Christina Nafisa Tukunan, and on the mic, Bamba Frank Mamadou. As you all know, we've been talking to Ambassador Jangonebi since 8:30. It is now 10:07, and Mr. Ambassador, I thank you very much for devoting so much time to this production. I know you are a very busy man, especially at this time.
Thank you.
But thank you very much for allowing us to ask as many questions as we can.
You are welcome.
Okay. We do have another caller.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, hi, Bamba. This is again Mitore. Hi, Ambassador.
Uh-huh.
Hi.
Yeah, this is my question. Well, I wonder how much chance does Cote d'Ivoire have to win this case if we go before an appropriate court? Because in listening to you, France has some rights, like a veto. And France can also do a couple of things. So we can't. So what's wrong with this picture?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Touré.
Yeah. You're welcome. The Security Council is different. It's 15 members with 5 permanent and the 10, the rest, by rotation. And it can take resolutions which are biased, as I said, with our own case being a perfect illustration of the situation of injustice. But the case will be taken to a court where we have judges of high moral and professional quality sitting at the International Court of Justice. And there, France cannot go and change things, because here people act, the judges, the court, acts according set rules which people can verify, and our case will be heard with our attorneys, and the case for France will be defended by France's own attorneys, which is not the case in the Security Council, where France will present the case for itself and present the case for us, meaning that drowning us, actually, because we are not there in the court, we will be there. In the tribunal, France is not there. We are not there either. So there is fairness in the cause, and I am sure we will overcome, we will win.
Yeah, and Mr. Gay, in the same line, I would like to ask you this question. Can the government use a private and independent investigator to look into the situation of the so-called bombing of French soldiers in Bouaké?
Of course. I think things should be done in cooperation, because if you send yourself an independent commission or body to inquire, of course the French will not acknowledge the result. So, if we go to the court, necessarily, the court will have to inquire, to have a point of view. So we can have our own inquiry, but I think this should be an internal, an international or a body in which we trust, and in which the French also put their trust, to be sure that the result will not be biased.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ambassador. The timing now is 10:10. Yeah, 10:10. And we do have another caller. Radio Cote d'Ivoire, hello.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, you are Mr.?
Yes, Michael.
Michael, from where?
From Connecticut.
From Connecticut.
Yes, are you broadcasting tonight in English?
Yes.
Right.
And yeah, go ahead, ask your question. We do have a host, a guest.
Yes.
I'm the host. We do have a guest.
Yes.
And the guest's name is His Excellency Mr. Jangone Bijesan.
The ambassador?
Yeah.
All right.
Go ahead, ask him your question.
All right, good evening, Mr. Ambassador.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Okay.
How about you tonight?
Fine.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question, but before I ask you a question, I have a statement. Now, the French, from my understanding, attacked the Ivory Coast because they claimed having lost 8 soldiers mistakenly bombed in what one might call a friendly fire. And this kind of thing happened anywhere there's a war. Now, the French were so quick to attack the Ivory Coast because of a friendly fire without any investigation. Will they show to the world a picture of those soldiers, the families of those soldiers, as well as the place that was bombed? This will really take care of all the doubt that we might have about this French attitude toward the Côte d'Ivoire. Is there going to be any proof that we need to see? Because to me, here's they are asking for an embargo at the UN. They are so quick at taking sanctions, but we have not seen a single proof as far as we are concerned. Mr. Ambassador?
Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank
Michael.
Thank you very much. I could not add any word, just agree with you. Nobody has seen the pictures. Nobody has seen where the incident occurred. We have been told that it was no longer 8 soldiers and one American civilian. It's now 9 soldiers. Does that mean that they did not recognize their own citizen, you see? There are many shades, and we need an inquiry. And the fact that they are in a hurry to retaliate in a disproportionate manner, and the fact that they are in a hurry to take sanctions, is a clear indication that they have something to hide as to the motives, as to the motivation behind. And we believe that the motivation behind is to give a push to the rebels by weakening the President of the Republic and by weakening the legal authorities, which is a very, very negative signal sent to all the would-be rebels in the sub-area, in the sub-region. This is what they do and encourage chaotic situation. We have had in Liberia, we have had another situation in Sierra Leone, and now it's in Côte d'Ivoire. Where will it be tomorrow? So I think we Africans should try to face these problems in a spirit of solidarity, because what happened today to Côte d'Ivoire can happen tomorrow to any country in the sub-region. We should express solidarity to Côte d'Ivoire. We should condemn France together. We should do everything to express our solidarity for the people of Côte d'Ivoire who has just been unjustly and fairly attacked by the French.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ambassador.
Yes.
The time is now 10:15. In about 15 minutes, this production will be over. Thank you very much for being with us. Now we do have 1,503,344. Jesus, we are swamped tonight, and this is the first time, Mr. Ambassador, we have more than 1 million, listeners. And of course, that's the reason is clear. The crisis in Côte d'Ivoire is important to everybody, and there are a lot of people who would like to know exactly what happened in Côte d'Ivoire, why France was so quick in hitting and destroying completely all the plains of Côte d'Ivoire. Thank you very much for your time. We have three more callers. If you don't mind, we'll take the first one.
Okay.
Radio Côte d'Ivoire, hello.
Hello?
Yes, you are Mr.?
Mr. Alfred.
Mr. Alfred.
Yeah.
Calling from where?
Calling from Houston, Texas.
Thank you, Mr. Alfred, for being with us tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The Ambassador Djangone Bidjesan is on the phone. Go ahead, ask him your question.
Yeah, I have two questions. The first is what happened now to the reconciliation government? I mean, I'm talking about Mr. Seydou Diarra and the G7. I want to know if Mr. Seydou Diarra is still Prime Minister of Ivory Coast. And the second is I want the ambassador to tell me a little bit about the action taken by the Ivory Coast ambassador in Washington, D.C. I mean, the one living in Washington, D.C., because every time when we hear something about Ivory Coast, it's only him. So I want to know what the ambassador of Ivory Coast here do for the country. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Alfred. Mr. Ambassador?
Yeah, thank you very much for your...
Well, before you attempted to answer this question, I know you are willing to answer all the questions.
Mm-hmm.
But these questions, I don't think they are, questions you should answer, even though, you are here to answer all the questions. But the first question is about the government of reconciliation. Would you like to answer that?
Yes, I would like to just say a word, not to answer, but to say a word about it.
Okay.
Because I cannot answer these two questions, which are traps.
Yes. And Mr. Ambassador, if you don't mind, I would like to remind our listeners that this production is about the crisis in France and Côte d'Ivoire.
Yes.
And, of course, all the questions are welcomed in that line.
Yes.
Let's not go over that, beyond that, because, right now you are not a member of the government, you are not the Prime Minister, and I don't think, these type of questions should be asked tonight. Maybe another time.
Okay, so I will leave it that way.
Yes, please.
And your comments are very clear. Mm-hmm. I think we should look at the situation between France and Côte d'Ivoire and how we can better manage to come out of this situation with, as we put it in our language, our local language, with our heads high. Yeah, so I think we should turn our attention to that. And some other time, we'll come to the question he has posed. But the second question I can answer, because it's not because you see the one of the ambassadors that the other is not working. It's not totally true. This is what I can say. Perhaps I was lucky enough that you saw me, I'm sure my colleague is working as well.
Yes, pretty sure. Ambassadors are diplomats, and most of the time they work in the behind, right?
Exactly, behind the curtain.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Radio Côte d'Ivoire, hello.
Hi, Mr. Frank?
Yes.
Mrs. Freddy.
Mrs. Freddy. Mr. Freddy.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Okay. You're back, right?
I'm back, yeah.
Okay.
I've been sitting here listening to the ambassador all the time.
Shoot.
So my question to the ambassador again is, you know, I really appreciate his time, you know, taking all of his time since last week to talk to us. It's very, we're very pleased with it. So, you know, if you think about France, the power of veto he was talking about earlier, France got the power of veto after World War II, and it was a gift from the United States and from England, because what they went through after they were occupied by Germany for 4 years. So my question is, Mr. Conan and Mr. Kofi Annan, which is the Secretary General of the United Nations, would you say that Mr. Annan at least has the responsibility as an African to say, you know what, even if I don't know what's going on, let me call Mr. Gbagbo and ask him a question about what really went on? That's my question.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you very much. But I, unfortunately, I don't see the connection between the need for Secretary General Kofi Annan to call his brother and discuss with him, and the need and the power and the veto power of France. But what I can say that is that the situation is very complex, and sometimes, without passing a judgment on the Secretary General, I can say that from far away, when we look at the situation, it's very difficult sometimes to understand the position or taken by either the Secretary General or the Security Council. Sometimes we are really worried, because since the beginning of the massacre, we have never heard the spokesman of the Secretary General say that excessive use of violence should be condemned. And we see all the pictures of children with their heads blown by live ammunition, and nowhere, neither from the Security Council nor from the Secretary General's office, do we hear a pleasing word to call on those or this power which is using excessive violence to bring back what they call order. It's something shocking indeed, but who knows, they certainly have their reasons.
Yeah, but is it not time for Cote d'Ivoire to pull out of the UN?
I don't know. The president will, at the appropriate moment, will certainly react and say, let us know his opinion, the opinion of the country regarding this way of being treated quite unfairly, I must say.
Okay. Well, we understand. You are a diplomat, and of course, your words are very important. Yeah, we understand. But Mr. Kofi Parfait, JR, is a teacher in the United Kingdom. He said, with a glance at what is going on and the behavior of the international community, he's asking if you wouldn't agree with him that the departure of the French military from Cote d'Ivoire will be advantageous for our country.
I don't know. But this is precisely what I read in the newspapers. There is a report that, according to the Minister for Foreign Affairs of South Africa, withdrawing little by little the French forces and replacing them by African forces would help solve the problem. I think, from a personal point of view, I think this position is positive, because in the case of a peacekeeping force, there is a need for absolute neutrality. And in the present case, there are 2 points which let us understand that France cannot have this quality. First, it's a former colony. Two, it has started fighting directly the Ivorian forces themselves. So it's quite disqualified. And it has placed itself in the position of an objective ally of the rebels. And this will send a very negative signal in the sub-region if a great country can help people take power by force.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ambassador.
Welcome.
In about 5 minutes, we will this production will be over, but we do have 2 more callers. Let's take them very quickly. Radio Cote d'Ivoire, hello.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, how you doing, Mr. Bomba?
Yeah, Mr. Ture, you're back, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Bomba.
Yes.
I got a question for Mr. Representative of Ivory Coast at the UN.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
Okay, if we know that it's the president himself who solemnly called, you know, the mission for UN to Ivory Coast, right?
Yes.
And we know also that a peace agreement was set up by this mission in Ivory Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't understand something, and I want Mr. Ambassador to explain me that problem I got.
Mm-hmm.
How can he explain too many troubles between the president and his followers and the UN mission when we know that he was the one who called the mission to Ivory Coast? I don't understand that. Why so many problems? Why so many different envisions how to bring peace to Ivory Coast?
Thank you very much, Mr. Ture.
No problem, sir.
Okay. Mr. Ambassador?
Well, when you call no peacekeeping force cannot go to a country without the express invitation or agreement or accord of the legal authorities. But when you call them in, of course, they are to operate independently. If there is a conflict and they are trying to bring the pieces together, for instance, between legal authorities and a rebellion, as is the case in the Ivorian situation. And whenever or wherever you have groups or entities working together, there is always a possibility of misunderstandings. This is what we are having, especially as people broker agreements in a rush. Sometimes they will lock you up in a place and say, okay, from today till 10 days from now, you should conclude an agreement. This is not an honest way of working on agreements. Or they will take you for 2 days and you have to find an agreement. And sometimes there are pressures from all quarters. Then you sign, and when you want to implement, there are real difficulties which were not taken care of in the first place. So we find problems as we move on. This is why the president said that he did not sign the first agreement, Linas Marcosis agreement. The government was not represented there. The parliament was not represented there. The national army was not represented there. But for the sake of peace, he will agree to implement it totally, except when there is a question, when there is a problem, when there is a misunderstanding, then he will resort to the only text for which the people of Cote d'Ivoire has agreed, that is the Constitution. So this is why there is a misunderstanding somewhere. And sometimes people are in such a hurry to have peace at all costs that they want the authorities not to respect the law. And this is a dangerous approach. This is what I want to say on this question.
All right. Ambassador, I would like to come back to a question that is very important to me. The French said that no one can kill a French soldier and get away with it. We remember that the rebels, in cold blood, killed two French soldiers in the region of Séguéla. The French did not go and disarm the rebels. This time, you're saying that if there was a bombing, that bombing, and they say too, was not ordered by President Gbagbo yet. The French army bombed down all the planes of the Ivorian government. How do you explain, what do you make of these two situations?
Okay, first of all, I want to say that they did not bomb down, they don't shoot down or bomb down the planes. This is, they did it in a cowardly way. That is, the planes were grounded and they pushed them and then destroyed them. This is the most cowardly way of of dealing with a plane if we want to destroy it.
You mean
for
the
some
plane,
other plane, they
Miss Ambassador.
Access and they destroyed them. I return now to your question.
Yeah, now, Mr. Ambassador, I would like something to be clear. Are you saying that the planes were not in the air?
No, they were. They represented no danger. They were parked in the down somewhere, and none of them was flying. None of them was a risk for them. They just came and in cold blood destroyed all of them, and some were even broken by soldiers acting like hooligans with axes. I say axes. This is a cowardly way of behaving.
Okay.
It's a shameful way. Anyway, to come to your question, you know, this is why I say they are helping the rebels. When two soldiers were killed, I think it was on Lake Kosu, according to my information.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
They themselves produced a press statement. I mean, the French, who lost two soldiers, produced themselves a press release saying uncontrolled rebels killed two French soldiers. You see, they themselves find that the two rebels were uncontrolled. Who told them that the two soldiers were uncontrolled? So they themselves find excuses for the rebels. This is why they are suspected of being their allies.
Ivory Coast, divided since 2002 between the rebel-held north and government-held south, has for the past week been engulfed in fighting and rioting. Trouble in the world's number one cocoa producer started when rebel ministers withdrew from the power-sharing government of Laurent Gbagbo in October, and President Gbagbo started airstrikes to regain the rebel-held territory. Two government warplanes struck a French army base, France struck back and sent troop reinforcements to the country, prompting angry mobs to attack French citizens and other foreigners. Abdon Bayeto is a London representative of President Gbagbo's party, the Ivorian Popular Front, and he's here with us now. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
400 people at least are thought to have been injured in the fighting, and you've been protesting here outside the French embassy. What are the real concerns?
The concern is a way of occupation of our country. And we're trying to appeal on the British people to intervene, because we're very shocked by this silence of the international community, by the international community, with the death of people in Africa. You said 400, but I'll say it's more than 700 people injured, shot at randomly with real life bullets by France.
The thing is, though, that you say to appeal to the international community, but the UN Security Council and the African Union have condemned the decision by the president to start the air attacks in the rebel-held north.
Yeah, but I mean, you should remember that on the 15th of October, the rebel was meant to disarm, which they refused. And then we are going through a difficult time, and we want to liberate our country, to free our country. What we decided to do is to either bombard some area belonging to the rebel. Well, this we could call it as a friendly fire. So we could talk, but not go and destroy a plane and, you know, start all these things. So I think it was an act of gangsterism by France.
And it's been reported that the president feels France favours the rebels and that France is seeking to undermine his position before elections planned for next year. Now, of course, they say they're not trying to get rid of the president, but where is this impasse going to end?
Now, today we understand that all along our enemy was France. The rebel was French.
But is it right to attack French citizens or any foreigners?
We're not attacking. You should understand the anger of the Ivorian people. While the time we're trying to free our people, France come and interpose themselves and go and destroy grounded plane. It's an act of gangsterism, I said. It's impossible. You cannot do that.
Well,
they're there as a buffer force. Being there as a buffer force, you negotiate, you dialogue with people for them to stop if there's any strike. But you don't go and attack, shooting at presidential palace, That's no a way of stopping a fight.
Can some calm be restored, do you think, by the fact that the South African president, Thabo Mbeki, is on his way to the Ivory Coast now to try to defuse the crisis?
He could do that. First, he's showing some African, you know, solidarity, which we do appreciate. But then again, we said that the only way things are going to calm down is France to leave the threat of the Ivory Coast with the armed vehicle. That's the only way. As long as France are in the Ivorian territory with the army, the people will be there as a human shield to protect the president. Democratically elected president.
Abdon Bayeto, London representative of President Gbagbo's party. Thank you very much.
At the time, 6:07, let's move on. And the United Nations Security Council will vote today on a resolution to give the Ivory Coast government and rebels there until December the 1st to implement a peace deal or face United Nations sanctions. There have been days of violence. James Copnell is our correspondent in Abidjan. James, the latest trouble was at a demonstration yesterday. Can you tell us what happened?
Yes, tens of thousands of people have been massing in the streets near three buildings which are very close to each other, the president's residence, the national TV station, and a large hotel in which some 50 French armoured vehicles and tanks and many French soldiers had been located. A wave of anti-French feeling in the city among the supporters of President Gbagbo, who were worried the French were intending to topple the president. The demonstration turned nasty. The French decided to leave, and shots were fired. Several people dead. At least 10 were being told, with lots more injured, possibly hundreds of people injured. There is doubt, though, over who fired the shots. Eyewitnesses told me it was French troops, but the French Defense Ministry have released a statement saying it was Ivorian armed forces working in conjunction with the French, who responded to shots from people among the crowd and fired back in retaliation. A confused situation.
It seems astounding that this could flare up between France and the Ivory Coast to such a degree within a matter of days.
Yes, but the history of France and Ivory Coast is a pretty checkered one. France, a former colonial power, of course, and there's been a real rise in anti-French feeling in recent years. People, I think, feel France is too close, still too economically and politically involved in the country. And then, of course, on Saturday, after 2 days of resumption of civil war, with the Ivorian armed force bombing the rebels who hold the north of the country, the French peacekeepers throughout the whole country trying to maintain a ceasefire along with United Nations troops. Well, one of these air raids, it appeared to have gone wrong, and a French base was bombed with 9 French soldiers being killed, although the French now seem to say they think the attack was deliberate. The French military response was very strong. They destroyed the entire Ivorian Air Force. I should stress it's fairly small, something like 6 helicopters and 2 planes. And then that followed, that created a wave of anti-French violence, particularly here in the main commercial city, Abidjan.
James Copnell, thank you. At the time, 6:07, let's move on. And the United Nations Security Council will vote today on a resolution to give the Ivory Coast government and rebels there until December the 1st to implement a peace deal or face United Nations sanctions. There have been days of violence. James Copnell is our correspondent in Abidjan. James, the latest trouble was at a demonstration yesterday. Can you tell us what happened?
Yes, tens of thousands of people have been massing in the streets near three buildings which are very close to each other, the president's residence, the national TV station, and a large hotel in which some 50 French armoured vehicles and tanks and many French soldiers had been located. A wave of anti-French feeling in the city among the supporters of President Gbagbo, who were worried the French were intending to topple the president. The demonstration turned nasty. The French decided to leave, and shots were fired. Several people dead. At least 10 were being told, with lots more injured, possibly hundreds of people injured. There is doubt, though, over who fired the shots. Eyewitnesses told me it was French troops, but the French Defense Ministry have released a statement saying it was Ivorian armed forces working in conjunction with the French, who responded to shots from people among the crowd and fired back in retaliation. A confused situation.
It seems astounding that this could flare up between France and the Ivory Coast to such a degree within a matter of days.
Yes, but the history of France and Ivory Coast is a pretty checkered one. France, a former colonial power, of course, and there's been a real rise in anti-French feeling in recent years. People, I think, feel France is too close, still too economically and politically involved in the country. And then, of course, on Saturday, after 2 days of resumption of civil war, with the Ivorian armed force bombing the rebels who hold the north of the country, the French peacekeepers throughout the whole country trying to maintain a ceasefire along with United Nations troops. Well, one of these air raids, it appeared to have gone wrong, and a French base was bombed with 9 French soldiers being killed, although the French now seem to say they think the attack was deliberate. The French military response was very strong. They destroyed the entire Ivorian Air Force. I should stress it's fairly small, something like 6 helicopters and 2 planes. And then that followed, that created a wave of anti-French violence, particularly here in the main commercial city, Abidjan.
James Copnell, thank you.
British people are going to be evacuated from the Ivory Coast today. Our correspondent there is James Copnell. How many are there, James?
Well, I think there's something between 300 and 400 British people in Ivory Coast. Difficult to get an exact figure. And we think that something like 200 or slightly less will choose to leave. It's, of course, a voluntary evacuation.
And is it all being planned by the embassy there or what?
Yes, absolutely. People are being told to go to the ambassador's residence between 8 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon. This is in Abidjan, the commercial capital in the south. In the actual political capital, Yamoussoukro, there are 2 rallying points there. And once people have gathered, they will be transported most likely in a British military aircraft to the neighbouring country of Ghana. And there's a company of soldiers, Gurkhas, here to make sure that everything goes well.
Obviously, therefore, the British government believes they're at great risk. How do you assess the risk?
There's certainly been a lot of anti-foreign violence, anti-Western violence, particularly anti-French, but also anti-Western in general, in the last few days. This follows, on Saturday, the French peacekeepers destroying the Ivorian Air Force in return for a raid on a rebel position that killed 9 French peacekeepers who were nearby. That sparked this wave of violence. It should be said that most of the incidents so far, most but clearly not all, have been cases of looting, of stealing things rather than direct violence. But the French military commander here in the country talked of rapes and of attacks on foreign citizens, although I don't have direct details about attacks on British people, but there's definitely a climate of anti-Western fear, and that has prompted the British embassy here to make this decision.
And what's the position of the government in all of this, of the Ivorian government?
Well, the government is a complicated term because it's a government of national reconciliation, and there's not much unity or reconciliation going on at the moment. The rebels who hold the north of the country are as much part of the government as President Laurent Gbagbo's side, as well as the opposition. The presidential camp seem happy, as it were, to let people leave, or at least resign to people leaving. They say people will be back because economically this is a country with a lot of potential. It remains to be seen, though, whether European citizens who've been traumatized or at least have had a very difficult few days and even possibly few months will decide to come back to the country.
James, thank you.